There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
But I will stomp your head in if you start a fight with me, you thug scum.
I tell you what, we'll get to that in just a second. But first... So why the Subterranean Homesick Blues? Other than the fact, by the way, side note, I believe that was the first rap song ever. With all deference to the New York rap sound of what popped up, if you want to go back, Mr. Zimmerman was rapping way back then. I got a note from Mary Lee down at the Sanger, said, coming up October 17th, Bob Dylan returns to the Sanger Theater. Tickets go on sale, I think, this Friday. So there you go. Bob Dylan coming back to Mobile, has been here before, but it's just amazing. The man who could just, you're talking about resting on your laurels, he could do some world-class laurel resting, but he doesn't. He continues to get out there and tour. Just amazing. Amazing. And I remember seeing Dylan, you know, gosh, it was 20-something years ago, and thinking, well, this is probably it. This is probably the last time he'll be out touring. And here we sit in 2018. So cool announcement. All right, yeah, so the Alex Jones clip started us off today, and that's part of the big bag of items we're going to talk about today over the next 2 hours of live local talk on Midday Mobile. Good to be back. Glad you are here, and big thank you to everybody who made it happen for me to be gone last week. Of course, Dalton Norwig, who makes it all happen, and he did a great job last week. Also, Jeff Poor, guest hosting, Jonathan McConnell, guest hosting, Chip Brown, guest hosting. Thank you to all of y'all that made it happen last week. I really, really appreciated it. Enjoyed my time. Put some pictures up on Twitter and on my Instagram feed. We were in Hawaii for the last week on the island of Oahu and enjoying some family time, family vacation. Yeah, Brady's go Hawaiian. And somebody on Twitter this morning was saying, as long as y'all didn't bring like a statue home, if you remember the old Brady Bunch. I think it was like a trilogy of the Brady's going to Hawaii. I think it was a trilogy, or was it two? No, I think it was three of them. Whatever. One of the ideas, again, it brought the statue home from Hawaii, and then all the things happened with that. We brought my son, for some reason, wanted a tiki of his own, so we brought a tiki home. So if bad stuff starts happening, it's going to be the Hawaiian curse or something like that. So, but other than that, big thank you to everybody who made it happen for me last week. I really do appreciate it. And let's lay out guests coming up on today's show. Ben Raines is going to join us in the second hour. Did you see the story? AL.com story from Ben about people out playing volleyball and killing bird eggs right there at the south end of the bay, out at Pelican Island, Sand Island, the names are, you know, kind of interchangeable anymore for that spit of sand off of Dolphin Island. Actually, it's connected to Dolphin Island now. But there was a volleyball event going on, and people stomping bird eggs and setting them out in the sun. And we'll tell you more about this coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Plus, Cameron Smith joins us in the second half of this hour. He's with the R Street Institute and AL.com. We'll get to that. And maybe I'll get some comments from him on the Alex Jones story. Alex Jones. Now, Alex Jones over the years has been, I guess, part of this show for a couple reasons. Number one, I find his rants amusing. Number two, I have had to, over the last 9 or so years on this show, dispel rumors that were brought up by Alex Jones. People say, oh, well, you're not talking about such and such thing. And I say, because it's not real. It was something created you know, by Alex Jones. And so we've gone back and forth on this. So I'm going to be in the weirdest position now where I'm in the position of having to defend somebody that I'm usually lampooning. You know, Alex Jones, I mean, he's a very mature and sage political commentator. He tells you things as they are. He...
Give me the big knowledge here, folks. At 40, on average, and they did this by design, you are now the equivalent of a 16-year-old. When I was 16, I didn't want to party anymore. I didn't want to play games anymore. I grew up. I'd already been in the fights, all the big rituals. I'd already had probably, I hate to brag, so I'm not bragging, it's actually shameful, probably 150 women or more. That's conservative. I had over 150 women. I'd already been in fights with full-grown men. I was already dating college girls by the time I was 15 years old. I was already a man at 16.
Ladies, he's quite a catch. So that's a little bit of Alex Jones. So he got the radio show and the web platforms and podcasts and all that stuff. Well, he did. As of today, add another platform to the place you can't find Alex Jones. Facebook has been on the list, of course, for people that have gotten rid of Alex Jones content. Of course, YouTube, before I even left on the trip, YouTube had banned him. And now it looks like Apple has moved in here as they have suspended Alex Jones. I guess gotten rid of it entirely. Here is the story. Says that Apple has moved. Apple has removed Alex Jones podcast for repeatedly posting content over the past several days that breaks community standards. So, which community standards and community guidelines, by the way, are something that we deal with. This is what gets me. Okay, that's set up by the FCC. That is for people like me that are broadcasting on the people's airwaves, right? Terrestrial radio. Why? Over-the-air broadcast television can only do so many things, even though they stretch it a lot. Cable can do lots more, right? Because it's not over the public airwaves. So for Facebook at all, YouTube, Apple, just trying to talk about community guidelines, y'all can pull the wool over some people's eyes here, but that's not correct. Now, if you say it bans, it's content that you have banned in your use, your guidelines, okay. All right, that's fine. If you lay out guidelines and you say, because you're a private company and you can make those decisions, then that's fine. If you're saying it's community standards, that is something that is based on Federal Communications Code. That's FCC. That does not apply to you on the web. Lord knows, look at the things that are on the internet. And I got a suggestion here. Before, and I have seen the normal voices from the far left decrying everything, and then those on the far right that say, you know, this is speech censorship. Well, let me add in this. And they will say, well, look at all this other stuff they leave on their platforms, YouTube or Facebook. And I'll say, exactly right. Can you argue, they say that Alex Jones is hate speech, right? Alex Jones is hate speech. Why are you so sure that it's not a whole bit? You know, I have my theory that the whole Alex Jones, and I'm sorry, InfoWar fans out there, I think it's a put on. I think he has created a persona to play to what he thinks some people in this country want to hear. And he's been successful doing it. I do think it's a shtick. I'm sorry, shocking, I know. I think a lot of this is theater, right? He puts on theater as he creates radio shows and podcasts. They'll go down the line, videos. So if so many things are defensible out there on the platforms we just mentioned, like Facebook, like YouTube, like in podcast on iTunes, because it's satire, right? It's satire, it's theater, it's whatever. You can say, because you're actually just making fun of it. What's to say Alex Jones is not doing that? Now, once again, I am the guy who has been tooth and nail, dealing with people, fighting this battle with people coming up with, coming on this radio show with theories they've heard on Alex Jones's show. Me having to roll my eyes clean out of my head because of it. Now I'm turned around and I want to, God bless, I got to come to this guy's defense and say he is creating content that is not loved by everybody. But you're going to tell me, Facebook, that the content on there is loved by everybody? You're going to tell me, YouTube, that the content on there is loved by everybody? You're going to tell me, Apple Podcasts, that everything in y'all's podcast, everything I can download, I can go to the podcast page there and search podcast on iTunes. tell me everything that's on there fits your imagined community standards? This is, listen, once again, I can jump on and give you all the reasons Alex Jones is a screwball, okay? But we're not here to be protected from screwballs. You know, they talk about the story from The Guardian. Of course, it's a weird deal where we have to have a United Kingdom publication tell us about what goes on here in the States, but they do a better job than anybody else right now. Alex Hearn's story says all but one of the major content platforms that have banned the American conspiracy theorist Alex Jones as companies raced to act in wake of the Apple decision to remove 5 podcasts by Jones and his InfoWars website, which I love. That is so true. They're racing each other. Oh, no, look at us. No, we're banning him. No, we're banning him more. Goes on to say Facebook unpublished 4 pages run by Jones for, quote, repeated violations of community standards, end quote. They need to send these people to a basic course on communications law. YouTube terminated Jones' account over him repeatedly appearing in videos despite being subject to a 90-day ban from the website. Spotify removed the entirety of Jones's podcast for hate content. By the way, our podcasts are still available on Spotify, just to let you know. Facebook removal of the pages, the Alex Jones channel page, the Alex Jones page, the InfoWars page, and the InfoWars nightly news page. I'm sorry. It's InfoWars. Dalton, had you seen that one? InfoWars nightly news, which I guess the broadcast starts off, dun, 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 dun.
And excuse me.
That's how he starts off his nightly news. They said here that comes after the social network imposed a 30-day ban on Jones for personally for his role in posting violating content to these pages. Following the suspension, Facebook spokesperson said more content from the same pages has been reported to us, and upon review, we've taken it down for glorifying violence, which violates our graphic violence policy. Now, point out, if we're going to do this compare and contrast, that I know is very popular, and I'll jump in on it, that Alex Jones, number one, my theory is that it is all some sort of theater and created out of whole cloth, and he's playing a character. But if you take it seriously, I want to point out that there's a whole bunch of other content out there that glorifies violence. Let's go. Let's go through YouTube here and check out things. Let's see, because we'll go to the things I most search, right, on YouTube, your default things. All right, there's a trailer for the movie Training Day. Yeah, there's a little violence in that. Yeah, there's that rap video that I like. That's got a lot of violence. That one, okay, there's that. Street Fight, that's got violence. YouTube, what foot are you standing on here? As Alex Hearn from The Guardian UK points out, these companies race to being the next to terminate and ban Alex Jones. So that's it. I mean, it's a strange place I find myself in after years and years and years and years of pointing out the ridiculousness of this dude. Same time, what's right is right, and them just in whole cloth banning him from all these platforms, I think is ridiculous if you want to compare and contrast other things that are just fine with those companies out on the web. So there it is. All right. Take it away, Bob. Coming right back. Go to the news break, and then we're back with Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. I feel better now. I feel good. I feel stretched out, and I'm all right. All right.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And there we go. Yeah, now it feels like 100, according to latest info from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. 95, the actual temperature, with a heat index of 100 degrees. It's supposed to go to 102 or 103 today. It's August. It's Alabama. It's the Gulf Coast. These things happen. All right, 1224 FM Talk 106.5, and Cameron Smith joins us in just a few. Really, there's some political things I want to talk about with Cam, but I'm also going to talk about his story. He posted up last week on AL.com with the headline, "Why My Kids Won't Smile for Pictures Either," which was almost like a self-help thing when I saw it from Cameron, because I have one of my children who will not smile for pictures. I wasn't really good at it when I was a child. I'm not particularly good at it now. Like, if you catch a natural smile, that's right. You know, that's good. But I'm talking about, like, okay, smile. Like, it's not a strong suit of mine. And my son, same thing. And I thought, man, I'm doing something wrong or something. But he's got a whole kind of write-up on this. I thought it was pretty interesting. We'll talk about that with him. Also, on the political front, you see this, the back and forth now. I think this is pretty interesting. Number one, I think it was interesting as it is. But I told Dalton this morning, or Brian, I saw four movies. Because of plane flight, it's a long plane flight to Hawaii and a long plane flight back. And I see about a movie a year. I just don't slow down very long to sit down and watch movies. And most things on in the house are, kids' movies. And while I will feign interest for a second or two, I can't sit and watch a whole kids' movie. I wish I could. It'd be cool, but I can't. But I watched, what was it, Red Sparrow? Red Sparrow, the Russian spy thing. And got me thinking more about embedded spies. And I see the story this morning. President Donald Trump and Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein got into a sparring match over reports that a staffer who once worked for the senator in California allegedly had a connection to Chinese spying. At a rally in Ohio Saturday night, President claimed that Feinstein, quote, had a Chinese spy as her driver for 20 years, end quote. Trump also incorrectly said that Feinstein, who is the top Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee and a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, is the leader of the Russian investigation. A story from CNN. I need to qualify that. But still, the president. I mean, he is his own worst enemy sometimes. Several committees that are chaired by Republicans have been involved in conducting hearings and interviews related to Russian interference in the 2016 election, including the Senate Judiciary and Intelligence Committees and the House Intelligence and Government Oversight Committees. Former FBI Director Robert Mueller. Okay. So the president, Trump went after Feinstein during the rally after making his first reference to Russia's Russia investigation. President added, I like Dianne Feinstein, I have to tell you, but I don't like the fact that she had a Chinese spy driving her and she didn't know it. Then Feinstein hits back at Trump and says, responding to a Twitter post of his earlier Saturday that asked whether she would investigate herself. This comes out. The California senator tweeted that the FBI informed her 5 years ago of concerns that China was seeking to recruit an administrative member of her staff in California. But she said the individual in question did not have access to sensitive information. And when she became aware of the situation, she made sure the employee left my office immediately. End quote. Whether he did or not, that's not... about scary if that's actually true, right? That there's somebody that close, but probably there's probably a lot more people that are further up in the ranks that are either spies or cooperating with the enemy. Taking aim at the president, Feinstein went on to say, compare that to your actions attacking the FBI and refusing the advice of your national security team. Sad, as she jabs back at President Trump. So there you go. There's the back. I think that's still going on today. They're still lobbing insults at each other over the Chinese spy as a driver. You had response here? From whom? Response from... Oh, from Alex Jones. Well,
excuse me. I've been trying to control myself, trying to be professional about this, but at a certain point, I just am just really getting pissed. Just excuse me.
Okay, so I don't think that was germane to the discussion, was it? And by the way, do we now get... Dalton, because we had those clips of Alex Jones on, because we're still on Spotify, we're still on iTunes, we're still on Facebook. Are we now banned because we played a clip of Alex Jones on the show? Do we now get banned because of that clip? That'll be interesting to see. So right now, you can find our podcast through iTunes. You can find them on Stitcher. You can find them through Spotify until they get word that I was playing Alex Jones clips on there. All right. Latest here, too. Somebody had asked if we did get an update on that shooting in North Mobile County, and we did. More information coming out from the Mobile County Sheriff's Department. This on the serious side. It says, investigators say the deadly shooting in Citronelle was caused by the fight over a missing ATV. They're treating it as a case of self-defense right now. It will be moved up to a grand jury to decide if there should be charges. Here's the story as told by the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. Said the event happened at 9 o'clock last night when Yusuf Mabry and Robert Ezell got into an argument over an ATV at Ezell's house. Police say the two met just days before and that Mabry had brought an ATV to Ezell's home to be worked on. The ATV wasn't at the home anymore and Mabry became angry, threatening Ezell with the gun. This, according to Mobile County Sheriff's Office, Ezell ran to his bedroom, got his own gun, 12-gauge shotgun. Police say Ezell warned Mabry not to come back into his room, but Mabry did. Police say Ezell then shot Mabry in the thigh. The two then struggled over Mabry's gun. The fight spilled back outside where the other witnesses called 911. According to the press release, based on witnesses and the evidence thus far, the shooting appears to be in self-defense. The case will go to a grand jury. Now, the problem, what I'm wondering here is maybe he bled out, because it says here the one gunshot in this story, if you saw it, was a shot to the thigh. And quite possibly you hit a big artery, I guess you could bleed out from that. But that's what they're reporting right now. I know a bunch of people this morning were wondering more info on that story. That's what we have now for the Mobile County Sheriff's Department. All right, coming back from the break, Cameron Smith will join us. We will talk about Chinese spies and getting your kids to smile for a picture. Maybe we can get some comments on Alex Jones and this push to get Governor Ivey to debate Walt Maddox. Now, would I like to watch a debate between the two? Sure. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't. And politically, why it's a good or bad choice for there to be no debate? We'll talk to Cameron about that and a whole lot more when we get back. Y'all stay close.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Good to talk to our buddy, too, from the R Street Institute. Actually, not only the R Street Institute and AL.com, but from the R Street Institute offices in D.C. Cameron Smith, what's up, man?
Hey, Sean, is this the InfoWars Defense Station?
It is.
That was what's going on.
That is what we're here for. Can we get commentary from, let's see, Alex Jones, are you there?
Excuse me. I've been trying to control myself, trying to be professional about this.
Uh-huh.
But at a certain point, I just am just really getting pissed. Just excuse me.
Okay, I'm sorry. There it is. There's his response.
Well, it's understandable. I mean, when you get banned from all the social media platforms, it really just... It takes away your ability to waste time throughout the day.
Okay. We talked about this a second ago during the news break, and I said I had to open the show. Here's a guy that I have been critiquing for 9 years and telling people why these conspiracy theories they call me with aren't the real thing. But today my job has been to defend Alex Jones, because I think it's a raw deal he's getting from social media platforms. First of all, commanding for those social media platforms to say they're using community standards, which is not apply unless it's broadcast over the radio or television over the air. And number two, if you want to go and compare and contrast other content on all those platforms to Alex Jones, really, you're going to make a case for Alex Jones and not the others?
Yeah, I think we're in dangerous territory here. And you and I have talked about this. When it comes to private companies, even very, very large ones, there's a lot of latitude is what folks can do. But when we're talking about a platform in Facebook, for example, that's bigger than most countries, you look at Google, you go down the list of some of these tech companies, they're very, very large. And when you start moving away from content neutrality being your standard for speech, that, hey, we're going to let people have a platform and a voice, and we're not going to be arbiter of what's okay speech. That moves you into sort of interesting waters. And then you need to explain, well, what exactly is it that you're dividing between this form of speech and that form of speech? I mean, you're saying no to Alex Jones, but look at all this other stuff that really looks suspicious. I think once you open that door to that kind of speech content discrimination, this gets hairy real quick.
Yeah, it does. And my worry here is, of course, not just with Alex Jones, but this seems to fit a pattern of censoring voices that they don't want to hear. And once again, I'm not here to defend Alex Jones. I think he's a buffoon most of the time, but he has a right to be a buffoon.
Yeah, and I mean, the way I deal with Alex Jones is I don't listen to Alex Jones. That's one of the things that's uncomfortable for me in all of this, is just don't listen to things that you find objectionable. This is the change the channel option.
Oh, we lost. Okay, tell you what, we're going to run to the break because we had problems with that connection. Anyway, let's get a new connection with Cameron from up there in D.C. Maybe, quite possibly, we're being censored, you know, through the internet. Maybe they know what we're talking. Dalton, maybe that is. Maybe that's the first step to us getting banned by multiple platforms. The fact that we're talking about this and Cameron's in D.C. and then that happened. Okay, let's see if we can reestablish connection. We're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1244 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Roll on. Our buddy Cameron Smith from the R Street Institute, and actually literally from the R Street Institute today in D.C. and with AL.com. Quite possibly we were being censored on the internet there, which caused our delay in our connection, so we went back to telephone line, which they regulate too, but we'll stay on here as long as we can. How about that?
We call this old school.
Old school. All right, I want to do a couple things here. Some in-state politics. We have the online opinion poll question. Should Governor Ivey debate Walt Maddox before the general election in November? Listen to this. This is our polling now over quite a few days' time. 55% of our respondents say yes. 45% say no. That was pretty shocking to me that it wasn't flipped around, but majority of the FM Talk 106.5 listeners say yes, she should debate.
Oh, yeah, Sean. I mean, leaders show up. I mean, this is the problem. Is I understand what political consultants say. I understand the political wisdom play here. But if you're a leader, if you're a visionary, if you're the type of governor that's going to take Alabama into the next decade, then you show up. You're not afraid of Walt Maddox. You stand on stage, you deliver, you go toe-to-toe with him and point out the fact that he's running a recycled Democrat agenda, that it doesn't matter how fresh a face you put on it. It's not what Alabama wants. I mean, there's a real easy play for Ivy. Her handlers simply have said, no, we don't want you to do that. We think it'll hurt you. We think you getting on stage and having to answer questions and do the back and forth will be bad for you. The fact that she doesn't think she has enough pad to risk something like that, maybe Alabama's more purple than you and I believe.
Well, okay, but or if somebody wants to argue the other side of this and say, listen, we want to make sure that a Republican is governor of the state of Alabama. So even though we would like to see her debate Maddox, we're better off with giving no chances. I mean, if she was in a tight race, it'd be one thing. But, I mean, she's right now, at least to the polling information we have, she's got this thing locked down.
Yeah, and I've got a column that I'm going to drop this week that basically says Ivy is not corrupt and she's not crazy. And that's really all that Alabama wants right now, given, you know, what we've seen from our political class. It's been embarrassing. And she's not exciting. But maybe Alabama could stand a little boring, could stand a little bit of a politician that does steady the ship of state. She has done that. I'll give her credit for that. And isn't trying to make waves or, you know, pursue huge policy changes. You know, maybe that's what Alabama wants right now. And I think what it does is it forecloses any real options for Maddox to gain ground. He just doesn't have a window where either he's going to really, let's just assume Democrats are energized because of Trump and all kinds of other stuff. Assume they're energized. Well, he still needs Republicans, particularly moderate Republicans, to roll over and vote for him. Ivy just doesn't really give him a reason to do that.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about this, though. It's steadying the ship of state is what you said. And we can, you know, we go through, she's playing defense, all these things. And you could say that is the nature of conservatism, keeping things the way they were, you know, yesterday. But at the same time, I think people will say there's a lot of places in the state we can do better, right? And it seems like that is, you know, not wholesale change of who we are in Alabama, but making ourselves a better Alabama. I mean, that's one of the things that I think she, even if not debating, she needs to be out pushing, you know, hey, I do have a plan. I do have some ideas. Here's how we're going to look better in 2019 than we did in 2018.
Oh, yeah. You and I agree on that front. I think her policy platform's thin as onion skin. I mean, there's not a whole lot there. And that's the truth. You just have to read it for 2 seconds. But I mean, I think her gamble is, why would I put anything out there that people might not like when I've got this thing in the bag? I don't, you know, they don't have another Republican option at this point. It's either me or Walt Maddox, and Walt Maddox isn't giving them any new ideas. He's just giving them Democratic ones. So I think that, again, this is political calculus from her handlers saying, why? Why would we do anything other than have you go to ribbon cuttings and shake hands and give your stump speech? And that's exactly what we're going to see.
Yeah, because if you didn't, where I would have probably, if you're looking at this, you know, politically, where you'd wanted the debate would have been during the primary, correct? Republican primaries, sure. Where you would have the debate. But it didn't happen there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, she didn't show up for that, as it turns out. You know, she didn't even have to have a runoff. And she, the strategy from a political consulting standpoint is a sound one. From a leadership standpoint, it's an abysmal one. And I think that, you know, will Ivy beat Maddox? Yes. In all likelihood, absent some kind of major fumble by Ivy, she's going to beat Walt Maddox. The problem that I see with Republicans in Alabama is they don't expect much. They're expecting not Bentley. And that is a huge improvement. But a visionary, a leader that's going to sort of put out a new, chart a new course for the state, Ivy isn't that. But maybe that's not what folks want right now.
All right, I got to talk about this. Your story up over at AL.com from last week. I really appreciate this. When I saw it, I'm like, wow, I'm not alone. And your headline here, my kids won't smile for pictures either. And you get a picture of one of your boys, who I love your boys, not having it in that picture. I have, and you know my son, we could replace my son's picture with Hayden's picture in about 10 different photographs. My kids do the same. My son especially, my daughter, she smiles pretty, but my son, he does that same move.
Yeah, well, I mean, the big thing that I want parents to know is parenting is tough. I mean, and this notion, it's a real Southern thing to try to button them up, make them smile under penalty of death, and really sort of force this composed look when none of us actually experience that. That's not what family life is like. And basically my column is saying, go to where the smiles are. For my kids, that's climbing trees, that's running all over the place, and that's who we are. And so I understand Southern tradition for the portraits on the walls and the Christmas cards usually dictates, well, you got to have them all polished and put together. But, you know, that's not a reality in my life. And I want other folks to know that, not because chaos is always fun, but because I want parents to be encouraged that, like, it's crazy. It's crazy for a lot of us. So don't feel like you're alone and you're the one whose kid just will not smile. There's a lot of us in that boat.
Do we need to have some kind of a self-help group here where, hi, my name is Sean, and my son won't smile in photographs either? And, oh, welcome, Sean.
Yeah, not only my son sometimes not smile, they will actively scowl. Like,
yes.
They're just like, no, mm-mm. The picture that I put with the column is my son on stage at church singing, like, a song, and he's like, mm-mm, not going to do that. And so... a lot of parents, that resonates with a lot of parents, and it's not just self-help. It's the sense of, if we're honest with each other and we let each other know, like, hey, this is life, this is kind of tough, and don't create these false impressions, it makes it a lot easier to talk about it, come up with ideas to make parenting a little easier, and maybe raise some better kids.
Yeah, I'll put it up on my Twitter feed if y'all want to check it out and see. Maybe we can get a group of us together to make me feel better about the fact that it's like trying to pull a mule to get my son to smile in a picture, and obviously yours too. All right, I'm going to jump back to a national political thing before we wrap up. And I wanted to get your take on this. I was thinking about it this morning. Is it all being lost in the fact that there's some kind of syndrome going on in this country? Do I have this where I've heard so much about the Russian collusion story? I've heard so many stories, so many versions, so many retellings that I have calluses built up when it comes to this, because you had President Trump saying that, I was familiar with the meeting there with the Russians and Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting. And this is contrary to what the president said earlier, but I'm at a point now where I just don't care.
Yeah, well, I mean, first there was no meeting. Then there was a meeting, and it was about adoption. now there's a meeting, and it was about opposition research, and it was totally cool, though. And so I just, at some point, people have got to start saying, wait a minute, like, this wasn't like I misspoke moment. This is there's like so many versions of this same story from the same people that it's starting to make our heads spin. And I understand the sentiment of like,
is that by design?
Over trying to track this down, but like, there's no. I mean, if my kids did this, I'd be like, okay, somebody's lying. Who is it?
Right. But is that? I mean, is that the plan? Is that by design that we hear? You know, sometimes I mean, look, Lord knows I do this for a living, and I see these stories. I'm reading and consuming all this stuff. And at a certain point, I go, you know, any of my family members or my friends, they've long since thrown up their hands, say, you know, you just believe what you believe and move on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but we're also talking about the president of the United States. And so the notion of, here's the way that I've sort of synthesized this in my brain. Bob Mueller needs to complete his investigation into Russians meddling into the campaign, see what's there, see what comes out of all that, and address it at that point. Because trying to follow this all along the way and seven different versions of different stories. I can tell you one thing's for sure. If I am Donald Trump's attorney, I am telling him, in no world should you ever sit down with Bob Mueller, because if you lie to him and then try to correct, now you're in trouble. That's a different story than lying to the press or saying stuff, six different versions of stuff. That is a terrible idea for the president to do.
Can they hold him back, his attorneys, for the? Because I know his, you know, well, I don't know, but I assume from watching him, his personality, he's going to want to go and be on the record and defend himself, right? I mean, he does a pretty good job of defending himself. Can they keep him from doing that?
Oh, well, Jay Sekulow came out and essentially said that of, you know, the attorney's inclination, rightly so, is to say, hey, maybe you shouldn't do this. The president's inclination seems to be much more like, hey, don't worry, I got this. That's one situation where I think the president needs to be a little bit more conservative. He needs to say, hey, maybe this is not a good idea to sit down with a federal prosecutor and make statements on the record that I may want to walk back later. I don't see him exercising that degree of caution. And that is where you end up in trouble. If you lie to a federal prosecutor, it's much different. It's a much different standard than sort of just saying things in the media or on Twitter.
All right. People want to find your next column. You said that you're going to talk about KIV and the debate and going forward, right? That's going to be on AL.com?
Yeah, I'm going to try to drop it tomorrow. I mean, the basic premise is KIV isn't crazy or corrupt, and that's probably enough for Alabama.
Oh, wait, that's a rah-rah piece. Way to go for a rah-rah piece for the state. Also, people want to just get in the conversation about their boys not smiling in photographs. Also, what, go to Twitter?
Yeah, you can find me at D. Cameron Smith on Twitter. Always like to join the conversation. And I want to say again, I have not colluded with any Russians.
All right, very good. Well, that's what you say right now. We'll see what the story is next week or the week after. You know, I just
yeah, that's fair. It could change. It could be subject to change.
All right. Very good. Cameron Smith joining us right here on Midday Mobile. By the way, too, coming up in the next hour, Ben Raines is going to join us. This story, weirdest story. I can't leave y'all alone for a week. And there's people like stomping bird eggs or piling them up or something out on Sand Island when they wanted to have a volleyball tournament. We'll get to that story coming up. And also, speaking of not leaving y'all alone for a week, how is it that this show that would be interested in trying to bring you the latest news on that, the whole hoochie shorts in the mall and the slut walk event and all that. So I was, the week I'm on vacation, that story hits. It's almost by design. I really, Dalton said, you know, it was the end of last week it came out, and maybe it's still fresh enough, Dalton, although I guess you said they ran the protesters off at the mall on Saturday as people were dressing up in Daisy Dukes or whatever short shorts to come out and press, but this thing called a slut walk would have been on my radar, I'm pretty sure, had I been here on Friday. All right, coming right back, we'll grab your text as well at 343-0106, 343-0106. And hopefully, even though we have played some clips of Alex Jones, our podcast of this show and all the others we do here at FM Talk 106.5, available through iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, but that may just be for a limited time now that we have clips of Alex Jones from earlier in the hour in that show. But if we're still up, that's the places you can find us on those platforms. Coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Bye.